Leaving your birth country and moving to a new place can be life-changing and heartbreaking. For Christopher Raja's family, it was all that and more. He moved to Australia from Calcutta in 1986 at the age of 11, on the cusp of the teenage years and all that potential for joy and strife. He recounts his memories of those first few years in Melbourne in a book called Into the Suburbs, A Migrant's Journey. Christopher Raja, big welcome to you.
Good morning, Hilary.
Now, in your book, you tell a story about your family name, which used to be different. How did it come to change?
It's a matter of history, I think. We'd have to go back to the British Raj and all that. But in essence, what I was trying to deliver there was an example of how names do change and they continue to change, and how these structures and senses of identity are fluid, and sometimes we don't always know what we're dealing with.
And you overheard your father at one point talking to your mother saying, "We don't even know what this surname means." How did that come to be?
Again, I wanted to play around with this notion of identity. And so while I was telling my particular story, I was sort of reflecting on what it might mean for other people as well.
And so your family's name was changed perhaps without your knowledge or consent?
Exactly. So I came to know about that changing of the name, years down the track. And I think that's what happens. You know, even place names, for instance, get changed. And, you know, we sometimes don't know the places, the original names of the places that we live in. And we find out years down the track.
How did your father feel about that change, do you think? Was it a small thing that he could pass off, or something that sat with him for a long time?
Yes, again, I wasn't sure, and I don't know what my father thinks about that. So these are some of the reasons why I decided to write the book in the first place. I had so many questions.
They can certainly make things clearer if you sit people down and say, "I'm writing a book about it, tell me your stories." And Christopher, your book's very vivid in the detail of these events, even though they happened so long ago. What inspired you to focus on this part of your life, those teenage years?
Well, you see, writing was a way of searching for home, and I'm interested in the ideas of class, belonging, identity, mental health, and coming of age. And I'm also interested in how the notion of coming of age intersects with ideas of belonging. And so that was one of the reasons why I thought writing about the teenage years would enable me to get into that into those topics where most teenagers are trying so hard to forge a sense of identity.
Indeed, they are. And you write about how, for you, that involved a lot of teenage exploration, sex, alcohol, being rebellious. But we've also heard from other second and third generation migrants this idea of the good migrant, this pressure on people, especially young people, to present the best side of themselves and their families when you move to a country like Australia. Was that tension on your mind as you wrote this idea of the good migrant coming into conflict perhaps with how you were testing out the boundaries of your identity?
Yeah, well, I didn't want to fall into cliche about any type of migrant. What I was trying to do was present a portrait of a family in exile, searching for home, and so even though I was trying to tell the story about a migrant, it was more about trying to avoid cliches. So this notion of a good migrant, for instance, I don't know what that is, and each of us are individuals.
Indeed. Well, you write that you lived for a time in Springvale in Melbourne's East, and you went to school there, state school, and fell in with some pretty rebellious kids. What was that time like for you? What did you get up to?
Again, I don't try and tell or point fingers and sort of label anyone. What I try and do in the book is just show things as they were. So if someone thought that was particularly rebellious for, say, Springvale, I was just showing what happened in my experience without trying to make a judgment on it.
Sure. Would you tell us some of the things that happened to you at that time?
Well, I think they were, in a sense, what this memoir was trying to do was show teenagers in their natural habitat. to use the David Attenborough phrase. And you know, what do teenagers get up to? I think in Australia, teenagers get up to all sorts of behaviour, and I try to reflect that in the book.
They do indeed get up to all sorts of behaviour, and sometimes they don't like to go into detail about it later, and that is fair enough. Christopher Raja, you got a scholarship later on to a prestigious private school, and it sounds like that was quite a different world, a different experience. At the time, what did you make of that change?
Well, it was a different experience, and it highlighted to me that Australia was, you know, not the egalitarian place that I was led to believe.
So you realised that as you'd left the caste system behind in India, but that there were other issues going on in Australia too?
Well, very much so. And yes, and it wasn't just the class system, caste system. It was a class system that also existed in India. You know, there were extremes of wealth, but also that's, and you know, it was sort of realising that that's the case everywhere in the world, isn't it?
Indeed. Well, and your father taught at this school as well, and I understand that, you know, your family encountered instances of racism. When you look back on the struggles of that time for your father, how do you make sense of that today, what he was going through?
Well, I think all sorts of people, you know, all sorts of migrants, they encounter a sense of you know, a time of acclimatizing, trying to fit in, and you know, these things happen at the workplace and also just randomly sometimes on the street. So I was just, I try and show examples of that. It must have been hard for him because having been a headmaster in India, but, you know, as I get older, I realize that it's hard for each generation of migrant that comes in. And I also reflect often on the Indigenous people who have had probably the worst time of it.
And indeed, you I think, as many of our listeners did, you heard at school that myth that First Nations Australians were dying out, and then you meet about how you met, you write about how you met Aboriginal families and realised that wasn't true. What was that like, having that realisation?
Well, it was fantastic. So, you know, we were being told in school that about these sort of ideas that Indigenous people were dying out, and then a great big family arrived from Darwin and I became friends with them, so that was quite an interesting parallel experience.
There's no substitute for direct experience and talking to people, is there? Now, Christopher, your mother carried some ambivalence about the decision to leave India, and immigration is a complex experience. Did your mother come to reconcile herself to the move in the end?
Well, both my parents were academically inclined, and so they were doing quite well in India. And, you know, and so when they came to Australia, they had to initially do factory jobs, things which they weren't used to. So there was a sense of confusion and probably a sense of frustration initially. But of course, Australia is a fantastic country, and we appreciate being here. But we also, you know, with every story, there are several ways of looking at it.
Indeed. Well, and Christopher, you obviously meditated a lot on issues of race and racism. How are you feeling these days? There's been more discussion in recent years in Australia of the legacy of our treatment of First Nations peoples, and also our relationships with the diverse communities within Australia. What's your perspective on how Australia's progressing?
Well, I think you know, it was interesting listening about the Lions, and I was thinking one of the things that I noted when I first came to Australia was the food, you know, the food aisles at the supermarket, and how there was so much dog food and cat food, and how there was almost a whole aisle devoted to animals.
Yep, and it's a contrast.
And at the same time, you know, there were so many people in India and various other places who don't have food at all. And I found those sort of things quite interesting. So, yes, I think in terms of inequality, both class and race, we have a lot of work to do.
And I mean, you left when you were 11, so that's long enough to really feel that that's your country and to feel that your identity is so closely bound up with living in India. How are you feeling these days, Christopher? Are you still feeling like you have two sides of you, or are they kind of integrated?
Yes. So I think we all have these various sides to us. But towards the end of the book, I talk about being a spirit in exile. And it forced me, not just the book, writing the book, but also living in these current times with the pandemic, has forced us to consider mortality and what it all means.
And
I've been rethinking this and continue to think about the sense of identity.
And Christopher, your book does contain some very sad moments. We won't give away what that entails, just that there's a family tragedy. What's your approach to dealing with that, along with the sense of loss that often happens when you leave your birth country behind?
Well, one of the reasons I wrote this book was in a way to reach out to people and to offer them courage and hope, and also to encourage people to keep going and be persistent.
That's certainly a good way to move ahead, isn't it, if you've got a sense of purpose. Christopher, you have three daughters. What do you hope that they'll make of your book if they read it, or perhaps they already have?
Well, I'm very proud of my daughters. In fact, one of my daughters is called Harper. And but saying all that, yes, my eldest daughter has read the book, and I'm very proud of them. And so I'm not sure what they will make of it, but I'm just extremely proud of them, like any father is.
Well, and do you think that perhaps it might help in many families if someone in a family wrote a book that answered some of those questions that children grow up with?
Yes, I think it's really important for both all families to talk about these issues that I sort of bring up in the book, because, I think it helps.
Now, we've received a text message, Christopher, saying, it's from a woman called Indigo, and she says, I love this interview. Chris is actually my dad. And it was interesting finding this out about my last name, Raja. Now, do you have a child called Indigo?
Oh, yes, of course. In fact, she's my eldest daughter, yes.
Good heavens. Wow, she's found this out on national radio. Well, I'm very proud to have had that happen. And Christopher, I really appreciate you giving us your time today. I hope you can have a lovely conversation with your daughter Indigo soon.
Oh, I don't believe she's found it out through the through national radio. She's got a copy of the book, but yes.
That's
but
very
she probably
good.
Just wanted to get in touch. Okay.
Christopher, thanks so much for talking with us. And we really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Hilary.
Christopher Raja, his book is called Into the Suburbs, A Migrant's Story.